Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Here with Ananya. Yes, I know I haven't published episodes after January or so. Well, if you are looking for the explanation, then you are right. I need to give an explanation over here. The reason being I am not making any episodes is that I have something going around, and it's important that I give my whole time and effort and heart and mind to it. It's something very important that I cannot ignore. And about podcasts are something which I really like to do, which I really love to do. And if I am forced to do some things, I cannot make up my mind or heart to go in that direction and work like the way I want it to work. So it's something that I cannot make my heart and my mind to work with it. So that's the reason why I'm not making any episodes so far. I know that I have to make episodes. It's not about that I need to make episodes, but it's like this is something I love to do. And for whatever audience that listen to me, listeners that listen to me, I know I have disappointed you guys, and I promise that I will be making episodes once the thing that I was talking about earlier gets over. So if you've been thinking about why I am not making episodes, or you needed this answer, please let me know on LinkedIn that you wanted this answer, because that way I would get to know that that this recording is not going in vain, and there are some people who actually needed this answer. So please reach out to me over there. And okay, so let's dive into this episode. This episode features Bhumika Sankla. If you've been following closely her on LinkedIn, you would know that why she is here, because she doesn't need an explanation, or she doesn't need any reason to be here on my podcast. So listen to it out, and I'll see you at the end.
Yep.
Hi, Bhumika. Welcome on the show here. Hi. With Ananya.
Hi, Ananya. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so how are you doing today?
I am really good. And I am very thankful that you invited me to the show. Very excited for it.
Me too. Okay, Bhumika, one question about the Netflix strategy to lure us all. Are you finding yourself a little bit or a teeny tiny bit tempted?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I do binge watch sometimes. I have a specific genre that I really like. So I'm into documentaries, and I'm into sci-fi a little. And all these, you know, informative bits like Black Mirror, or I am too passionate about cooking. So I've watched all season of The Chef's Table and everything. So there's a specific kind of genre I like, and I don't mind binging on them. So yeah.
So am I eating up your Sunday?
No. That's all right.
Okay, Bhumika. Okay, let's start with you. So who do you identify yourself as an individual?
As an individual, I identify myself as a very creative person. I don't like being bounded by, protocols or rules that have been already decided by someone. So I kind of try to bring creativity in whatever I do, be it painting, be it my work. And I see myself as a very multifaceted person in terms of my interest, because I am very much into books as I am into music, and I'm very much into food as I am into dancing. So I just feel that I want to explore as much as I can within the short span of life that we have on this planet. So yeah, I see myself as a creative person and as an explorer, I would say.
Okay, so you know, when you said that you don't get bound by the rules, there was a song which played in my mind. It was I Don't Know My Name, I Don't Play by the Rules of the Games. So
ooh, yeah. Nice.
Okay, Bhumika, that's, you said that you love books, music, dance, and cooking. And I feel like, yeah. Oh my God, like she is something, she is not like not a typical CA student, but she is much more than that. And one thing I really want to know, how do you manage so much along with CRT culture?
Honestly, I kind of built it gradually, and I was not too much frenzy about being productive and about being on schedule for a couple of years. I think one, adulting does that to you. So if I start from the beginning, I was very particular about my schedule. So honestly, this incident happened in class 7th, I would say. So what happened was my mom used to, bachpan mein what we used to do was that we used to recite all our answers to our mom, kind of learn it and stuff. But then my mom told me in class 7 that I am not going to listen to your answers anymore, because I have to she had to focus on my younger brother. So she was like, you do things on your own now. So then I started, I kind of got serious about taking responsibility. So I started making my own schedules. So I would have to-do lists for every day. This is a subject that I'm going to study today, and this is how I'm going to study today. So I started this from class 7th, and since class 7th till now, I have my to-do list for every day. These are the tasks that I want to achieve, and in this sort of time, I'm going to achieve that. So schedules definitely help. I don't think planning, restricts you. It kind of gives you the freedom, because you are no longer distracted by the unimportant. So planning gives you the freedom. And with CA articleship, I think I changed a lot after college ended. So I moved to a new house, and I had to handle all the adulting stuff, just laundry and kitchen and everything. So that gave me a lot of responsibility, and I kind of started managing my time from that point onwards. So I have a proper schedule for everything. With CA articleship, it does get difficult because you are constrained by the time you have. But then I have a very supportive team for that matter. So I haven't worked really late, because I kind of plan my work that way also. And I have efficiency and not working late and stuff. So You see, it's a couple of factors, right? My team being supportive, and me being very frenzy about being productive and efficient. So all these factors kind of mixed up and resulted into me exploring stuff. So yeah.
All right. Yeah, and as you said, that planning doesn't restrict you. It sort of gives you direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very true. Okay, so I see you share a lot of book reviews on LinkedIn. So reading is something you do religiously, or you are in the process of inculcating a habit?
I think I have gone through that phase now, because even with reading, it started in, I would say, class 10th or class 11th. So before class 10th, I used to, we did not have the process where you can lend books from the school library. So I used to read dictionary in my spare time. And I have read dictionary for hours and hours. We did not have those digital apps back then, right? So
yeah.
All the hard dictionaries I would read for hours. And then I started reading novels and stuff in class 11th, I guess. So of course we all started with Chetan Bhagat and Ravindra Singh and all of them. So yeah, but then I kind of left reading in college, because I just did not have the time to, and I was too busy with IPCC and everything. But then I picked it up again after college ended. So in the very beginning, so my friend just recommended me a book, which is Sapiens by Yuval Noah Harari. And I was too intrigued by that book. And it is one book that everyone should read. So I was too intrigued by the ideas and by the kind of revelations that book made for me. And I kind of wanted to explore more in a lot of fields that the book says. So I started with that. And I kind of started reading leisurely in the beginning. But then from 2020, I made this target that I want to read this many books and I want to read this many pages every day. And I kind of developed it as a habit. So in the starting, I had this rule, which is the 20 pages rule. So you spend around 20 to 30 minutes reading 20 pages per day. So I started reading 20 pages per day, no matter what. And that's how I developed the habit.
It's a good habit. Okay, so moving along, when it comes to books, Bhumika, I tell you how I pick up books.
Okay.
If I'm not ordering them online, I pick up the book, I smell it, then again I smell it, and then I sort of try to live in that fragrance for a couple of seconds. And after that, I open my eyes and then I'll read the gist at the back. And if both of the smell and gist is of my taste, the next day you would find the book on my shelf. So that is my ritual, you can say, I follow before buying a book. I believe every book lover has his or her own ritual. So what's yours?
Yeah. So I don't have a ritual per se, but I get my book recommendations from my friends, honestly. So you have friends who match your vibe, right? So I am mostly into nonfiction. I started reading fiction this year, but I was and I am mostly into nonfiction books. So I have friends who read the same genre. So I get my recommendations from them. Besides that, we also have a lot of blogs and a couple of people that I follow on YouTube and on LinkedIn. So I get my recommendations from them. And of course, we have Gates Notes from Bill Gates. So I follow Gates Notes really religiously. So I get book recommendations from Bill Gates as well. So yeah.
Okay, so nonfiction. Yeah.
Yeah, nonfiction.
That's, you know, I am yet to transition into nonfiction, because fiction is something which gives me a space where I can live in dreams. So that's why I love fiction. But I have to move into nonfiction, because then again, it's a practical world and I am in this world. I have to read it about it.
Yeah, true.
Okay, Bhumika. Okay, I am quoting a line here from Jane Eyre. Have you read that book?
Okay. No, I have not read that book, but that's in my list, yeah.
Okay, so it's a line, I quote, "If all the world hated you, believed you wicked, while your own conscience approved you and absolved you from guilt, you would not be without friends." So this is one of my favorite lines, and there's a reason why I am quoting this line. Also, I would also like to quote another line from a movie. It's a movie, Stree. Have you watched it?
No, I haven't. Okay. But I've heard about it.
Okay, so the line is, "Sahi aur galat kuch nahi hota hai. Ye to sirf ek nazariya hai." Okay, I paused the movie when I heard this line. I replayed it twice and I felt like it is a wisdom bomb to me. And it felt so nice that, oh my goodness, I have been bombarded by wisdom. So since you have read so many texts and books, what wisdom bombs you love the most?
So obviously Sapiens was a great mythbuster, and my favorite chapter from Sapiens is religion. And it tells you how humanity evolved into these sects that we are at right now. So that's one. Sapiens is one. And I have read a couple of books like in the nonfiction genre only. So there's this book called The Handmaid's Tale by Margaret Atwood. And it's basically a dystopian fiction. I'm also into dystopian fiction. I've read a lot of books in dystopian. And the best dystopian is obviously 1984. But there's this book called Handmaid's Tale. And it so dystopian basically is it's a story about a kind of government rule where there's basically totalitarian government, all right? So Handmaid's Tale is based on theocracy, where you see Bible as the most important thing and you follow everything by the Bible, right? So there's also this series based on here, Handmaid's Tale, if you want the visuals, by the way. So this book, not this book only, but dystopian fiction basically tells you how important it is to have the power to place your opinion in the world. So when you read stuff like these, you realize that the basic power that you have right now, that you can speak whatever you want and you can just give your opinion in the world, it is kind of the best power you have, because one thing that humanity wants is the need to be to feel understood and to be able to put your ideas. So that's one thing that dystopian fiction gives to you. And I have read a couple of books on myth busters. So there's this book called Factfulness by Hans Rosling, and it tells you, you know, it is kind of a myth buster about all the premonitions we have about population growth, that we see ki 20 saal ke baad itna population ho jayega ki we will not be able to live on this earth, but the graph is actually not like that. So these are the practicalities that you know, you learn from books, and it obviously gives you opinions. So I've not read a lot of fiction, but there's this book called A Man Called Ova, and I'm not too sure if you have read that or not. It's a beautiful book, and it is the story about an old man who, you know, who's very stern. He has lost his wife, very angry, very rude to people, and then the story kind of unfolds and you realize how actually the man feels, and he also has feelings and, you know, just the emotional side to him, and you kind of realize how many layers a person has. So you can't really judge anybody, and you the same thing that you can't judge a book by its cover. And a book gives you the kind of liberation in terms of you know that the kind of layers that a person has and the kind of complexities that we have is beyond our comprehension. So you, even if you read a book, if you read it twice, you will definitely find something that you missed out. So yes, yeah,
that's true. Okay, moving along. Bhumika, books brings a change in us, our personality, our mindset, and of course our outlook on life. So yeah. How have you evolved since your first book?
Oh, I think I have evolved too much. One, that I told you that I don't judge people anymore. I mean, I do some sorts, but then I kind of have that process going on in my brain that, you know, why is this person behaving this way? This might have happened to this person. That's why he is behaving this way. I've read a lot on emotional intelligence, philosophy, and psychology. So I kind of have that understanding. And I also picked this book called Meditation, which is by Andy Padicombe, who is also the founder of Headspace, and I kind of started meditating and stuff. So this also helped me a lot. Cured a lot of emotions in my brain and provided me stability. And the one book that really, really changed it for me was Atomic Habits by James Clear. And it is kind of the Bible for all the productivity gurus out there. So it gives you a practical understanding of how you want to develop your habits and how habits help you to evolve as a person. So Atomic Habits definitely is a book that someone should read if you are in that initial phase of developing habits. So yes, that's one book that would really change things for you. Very practical. And also one very practical book is The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss, and gives you a very, very practical guideline. It has proper maps also for how you want to achieve your dreams and how you want to work less and focus more. One last book that I would really want to quote is Deep Work by Cal Newport. So deep work, because as you said, we have the attention span of a goldfish. So deep work tells you how you want to be in that flow state. So flow state is basically that state when you are no longer distracted by anything and you are just kind of very focused on your work. So deep work tells you how important it is in this era, especially to build that very focused mind. So yeah.
Okay, Bhumika, thank you for the suggestions. I haven't written it down, but when I listen to this podcast again, I will definitely. So moving along,
thank you.
You are into Deloitte, right?
Yeah.
So how did you, what all preparations you made before going to Deloitte, and how has been your experience so far?
So I got placed in Deloitte from my college only. So we had a basic HR round and a technical round. So HR round is basically where they ask questions about your resume, and technical round was mostly about ASMSs and some IES and IFRS and some, you know, just current affairs that were going at that point of time. But my interview was very chill and they were really impressed by my resume. So they did not ask much, to be honest. And my experience at Deloitte has been, what do I say? It is a mix of sorts. So because I mentioned that I am an explorer and I'm a very creative person. So I had this feeling that audit would suit me, but being an explorer, I can't trust things on the face of it. So when I don't have the experience of something, I can't comment about it. So I kind of wanted to go into audit because of all the things I've heard about audit. And the experience is good in terms of giving you understanding about the basics of a business. You are definitely gonna be a champ in accounting, and you will know how businesses work and how things happen. But I don't think audit gives you the kind of creativity that I imagined it would. So you are basically bound by all the documentation processes and all the deadlines and the kind of guidelines of the work papers that they have in the firm. So in terms of creativity, it does not give you so too much space. And I don't think I will be an auditor for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it has been good. The experience has been good. There are obviously great professionals in the firm who are very passionate about audit. So yeah, I have interacted with a lot of very brilliant intellectuals. But I think I need something which is more creative and gives me more freedom.
Okay, Bhumika. So have you identified that profession?
Not yet. I'm still exploring. I am very passionate about food. So that's like my big dream, that I want to do something in food and I want to do something on my own. So entrepreneurship is definitely one. But I haven't found a mix of things yet. So let's see.
Okay, Bhumika. So you have mentioned that you are a creative person. I believe that creativity is a very subjective term. So yeah. What's your definition for creativity?
I think creativity is definitely your way of expressing things. So if I talk about art, so my kind of art, into a lot of music. So I make paintings which are very relatable to the lyrics. So that's one kind of painting. And I read a lot of philosophical and psychological texts. So my paintings are related to that also. So that's my kind of expression. Paintings. And in terms of food, I'm very much into healthy cooking, and I like the texture. So one vegetable that you roast is not the same as the one you boil, right? So I like giving texture to things. I like bringing out natural colors from vegetables. So that's one kind of art I like. So I think it's expression of your personality to me, creativity. Yeah.
Okay, Bhumika. One last question before we move on. Since you are a reader, you are an avid reader, and do you think that reading helps in writing? So do you believe that your writing has also improved because of reading?
Yeah. Pretty much. Because obviously the vocabulary improves and your comprehension definitely improves. Because you get opinions from the book. So even if I'm writing a piece before I started reading, I would have one opinion about it and I would write about that opinion. But because I've read too much stuff now, I can give opinions to the same thing from different point of views. So you kind of start putting yourself into someone else's shoes and you start thinking from different perspectives. So reading definitely gives you a perspective. And if I write some piece about religion now, then I have too many points to think about. Though I am an atheist, but even then I have a couple of questions that are unanswered, and I kind of write about perspectives. So reading definitely gives you perspective And it definitely improves your vocabulary that we all know.
Yes.
So, yeah.
All right, Bhumika. It was so much, you know, I love this podcast. It is so much, it was so insightful. And the books you recommended and the way you talked, your perspective on creativity, it was so much beautiful and wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on the show and giving me your time.
Thank you so much, Ananya. It was my pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, people, thank you so much for listening to this episode. And as I promised earlier, you would get to listen a lot of me once you know. So, okay, thank you so much. Thank you again for listening. You can reach out to me on LinkedIn, of course. Do not forget to follow Bhumika over there. And until then, I'll see you sometime later. And I'll ping you up whenever I'm going to come. Okay, thank you.